Good morning. In Barbara Brown Taylor's little book, The Preaching Life, she says this about the voice of the shepherd. One of our favorite names for Jesus is the Good Shepherd, the Lord who lays down his life for the sheep, who knows his sheep by name, and who leads them beside the still waters. All of this makes for good sermons, except that somehow or other, the preacher has to deal with the congregation's likeness to sheep, which does not always sit well, since most of us think of sheep as slobbering, untidy, dumb animals who exist only to be shaved and eaten. Imagine my delight then, she goes on to say, when I discovered just recently that someone I know actually grew up on a sheep farm in the Midwest, and that according to him, sheep are not dumb at all. It is the cattle ranchers who have been responsible for spreading that ugly rumor. And all because sheep don't behave like cows. According to this person who grew up on the sheep farm, cows are herded from the rear by hooting cowboys with cracking whips. But that will not work with sheep at all. Stand behind them, making loud noises, and all they do is run around behind you because sheep prefer to be led. You push cows, the sheep farmer said, but you lead sheep. And they will not go anywhere that someone else does not go first, namely their shepherd, who goes ahead of them to show them that everything ahead is all right. Sheep tend to grow fond of their shepherds, the sheep farmer went on to say. It never ceased to amaze him growing up that he could walk right through a sleeping flock without disturbing a single one of them, while a stranger could not step foot in the fold without causing pandemonium. Sheep seem to consider their shepherd as part of the family, and the relationship that grows up between the two is quite exclusive. They develop a language of their own that outsiders are not privy to. A good shepherd learns to distinguish a bleat of pain from one of pleasure, while the sheep learn that a cluck of the tongue means they're about to be fed, or a two-note song means that it's time to go home. In Palestine today, it's still possible to witness a scene that Jesus almost certainly saw 2,000 years ago, that of Bedouin shepherds bringing their flocks home from the various pastures they have grazed during the day. And often those flocks will end up at the same watering hole around dusk so that they get all mixed up together. 8 or 9 small flocks turning into a convention of thirsty sheep. Their shepherds don't worry about the mix-up at all. When it's time to go home, each one issues his or her own distinctive call, a special trill or whistle or a particular tune on a particular reed pipe. And that shepherd's sheep withdraw from the crowd to follow their shepherd home. This never worked with youth groups when I traveled across the country. They know to whom they belong. They know their shepherd's voice, and it's the only one they follow. In our own lives, we find ourselves in a variety of roles. Even within this wide range of roles, we find that we are either a follower or a leader. If we take the role as leader, we find that we become the voice of authority, the one familiar sound or voice that guides those around us. More often, we find ourselves in the role of follower. In this role, we need to be like sheep, discerning and making sure that we are careful to know what leader to follow, careful in choosing whose voice we will allow to guide us. In our gospel passage from John today, Jesus refers to his followers as sheep who hear his voice and follow him. His followers knew that he was a good shepherd in contrast to the leaders of their day. Israel had leaders, to be sure, but the problem was that many were not good shepherds at all. Many were interested in maintaining the status quo so that they could hold on to their prestigious positions of power. The people of Israel were hungry for a good and kind shepherd who would care for them in love more than they cared for themselves. Jesus met their needs. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, touched hurting lives, and brought meaning to the weary and the hopeless. Jesus was a selfless shepherd, giving of himself for the good of the whole flock. When Jesus entered the temple, the religious leaders confronted him and asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus responded that their question wasn't necessary, because the very way he taught and lived and loved had answered the question many times already. They simply had not listened or seen or believed. Jesus clarifies the issue. The question isn't whether Jesus' words are clear or not. The issue is whether or not one belongs to his flock. Jesus makes it very clear that those who listen and follow him do belong to his flock. Those who belong to his flock know him already. They know his identity. He is the good shepherd, and so he is the Messiah of God. Our situation today has changed little from this scene more than 2,000 years ago. We have our share of people standing up all the time, trying to lead us, and often, how do we see a good and kind shepherd? We see this scenario played out around the world. We see leaders who are more concerned with preserving their own power and keeping what they think they are due than in putting energy into peacemaking or establishing well-being for all people. For the unhoused and the refugee and the hungry, the immigrant, or righting injustices caused by all sorts of debilitating fears and prejudices. And there is what happens when a person or persons are swayed to believe a leader who, in their desire for power, teaches fear and hatred, and leads their followers to a place where their mistrust of others and their utter trust in that leader and what they've been taught to believe leads them to hatred rather than love. Minds closed to understanding and care, so closed that they can take a life without thought for the other's right to live. There are extremists in every faith, led by those seeking the power that belongs to God. No one faith has the market on fundamentalism that teaches to hate those who differ in myriad ways from us. So who do we look to? Who is it that you are listening to right now? Who do you let lead you? Whose voice do you trust? What makes you believe? We can't deny the tremendous need for a good shepherd in our lives. We need a voice that, above all others, calls us to listen and trust, because it is a voice of love and kindness and gentle care. It's in the midst of this need that our good shepherd calls us and invites us to live lives that regard the good of the other over the good of the self. In full confidence, we can go to Jesus and know that we will never be led astray. Jesus knows those who trust in him as Lord. They have become familiar with him and recognize his touch, his call, and the particular joy of his voice. To those who follow him, he promises his presence, his love, his life. The key for us is to listen to the voice of our shepherd. Above all the other loud voices and noises in our life, even voices that claim to be voices of faith, listen to him and follow him. There are times in all our lives when we blindly follow other sheep or even other shepherds who claim to care, and ultimately their care is self-focused. We follow and get ourselves into situations that prove to be dangerous to our well-being and the well-being of others, physically, emotionally, spiritually. As Christian followers of one who is love, we are to take responsibility to carefully choose who we will follow, because our action or even our inaction can have far-reaching consequences for promoting either justice or injustice, both in our own lives and in the lives of others. As people of faith, we hope and pray that we can discern the voice of God in all the other din. We pray that as the Good Shepherd enters into our lives, we will not stray, and that Christ would help us to discern his voice, calling us to follow paths of justice and righteousness. Jesus worked to feed the hungry and to heal the hurts of those around him. He lovingly touched the outcasts, people no one else would touch. Jesus was not afraid to confront wrong. And these are our tasks too. And our Good Shepherd's voice and example empowers us and leads us to do them. The promise that we can claim as we go about following our shepherd is that we will not be snatched out of God's hand, and that we will, as we work for justice in this world, respect the dignity of every human life. Hundreds of thousands of people before us have followed Christ the Good Shepherd, and we walk in solidarity with them. In John's vision and revelation, the church, battered and bruised as Jesus was, is standing before the Lamb and the Shepherd. It's intriguing that Christ is both the Lamb and the Shepherd. Coming through the Lenten season, and now as we live in this Easter season of resurrection and new life and hope, we are reminded of both aspects of Christ's life. Christ was the follower, the Lamb who gave his life for us. And he was the leader, the shepherd who gathered together God's lost flock. And now, as both the risen Lamb and the risen shepherd, he sits on the throne of God. And it is before the throne of love that the church in Revelation is gathered, a church that is made up of people of every nation, speaking every language. And we will all understand one another as we join in the work of mercy and love. It is a vision for us to work toward today, especially today. Today in the reading from Revelation, an elder asks a rhetorical question of John. Who are these robed in white? We find out they are people just like us, who have listened to the voice of God and striven to do God's will through the living of their lives. And they have come through tribulation, battering, bruising, beaten, killed some, standing up for righteousness and truth, giving their lives for that truth. We may not have to give our lives for the truth, who knows? Yet we are called to the same urgency of care for righteousness. Leonardo Boff reminds us that God's gifts come with responsibility. We have no choice but to behave like God if we truly believe. And all humanity are made in God's image and likeness. So who are these robed in white? One preacher has wondered what their robes looked like before they washed them. What kind of stories would their robes have told? Imagine a child explaining the origin of stains in their favorite pair of jeans. This grass stain is from when I caught a fly ball to win the game. That grease spot is from the pizza we had at my last sleepover. That patch covers up the hole I tore climbing a tree. And far too many children, that hole came from a bullet. Now imagine the martyrs examining their dirty robes. This blood stain is from when I turned the other cheek. These two spots where dirt is ground into the fabric, these are from kneeling over and over in prayer. The front of my robe is damp from tears shed for my brothers and sisters who suffered with me. Who do we listen to? What voice do we follow? What do we believe? What will our robes look like? Will their ground-in dirt be proof of our willingness to lie in the dirt holding our injured brother or sister? To wield a paintbrush or hammer and build a home for someone without one? To dig wells or change our daily lifestyle so others can have enough water? To sling hash so others can eat? To dry the tears of the disheartened and hurt so they know that they're not alone? To fight for what is right so all might be safe? Who are these robed in white? These are they who have followed the voice of the Shepherd of Love, who have washed their robes over and over and over, but not before living their faith through the stains of love. It is a grace to know that in heaven there will be perfect peace. But as we follow and listen to the voice of our Good Shepherd today, now, we must strive to guide others to the springs of the water of life and reach out and wipe the tears from the eyes of those who suffer now, so that all will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the God and Creator who loves each one of us, and in that hearing experience mercy, equity, healing and wholeness now. Our children need to see this love lived out right now and to find that there is good they can trust, there is good they can believe in, there is good they can receive and share and live now, today. Amen.